Well, hi, this is Joanne Ray with Senior Marketing Specialist, and this is A Human Connection. I've been so extraordinarily blessed over the course of my career to meet some fascinating and super successful people, and now I get to bring those conversations to you. So I hope you enjoy, I hope you listen, and I hope we can learn along the way together. Today, I am honored to have as my guest one of the hardest working. He can outwork, outcompete, outperform any agent that we've ever had a pleasure of working with. This is Jacob Norp, CEO of Senior Insurance Specialists in Joplin, Missouri. Good morning, Jacob.
Good morning, Joanne. Great to be here.
Yeah. So this will be fun. We'll just have a conversation like we've done many times over the course of the years that we've known each other and worked together. But for everybody listening today, why don't you give just a quick little background and bio of how you did get started and how long you've been in the business, Jake?
Okay, yeah. So I got started because really my dad was in the insurance business. And when I turned 18, I'd been with him on several appointments. And he always told me, every time I bring you, I always make a sale.
You were a good tool, huh?
Yeah, I think I provided a little human interest in the insurance process, and he probably was glad to have a child there to where, you know, somebody thought, well, hey, if I buy a policy, then maybe I'm helping him feed his kid, you know.
Yeah. Or something. He must be a nice guy. He's bringing his kid. Yeah, that's awesome.
So it was neat to be able to be with him and watch him in his laid back manner talk to people about insurance. And so he was inspiring to me to get in the business. And I went to college and, you know, got a marketing management degree. But when I graduated, I'd already been working for 4 years in the business. I started when I was 18. And so I thought, I'm not gonna go work, you know, for a corporation right now. I love what I'm doing, and I'm just gonna keep right on doing it. So plus, I think I might've taken a pay cut starting to work for somebody else, working part-time, you know, as a college student. So, you know, it was a good deal for me to continue on.
So you got started right as a young gentleman, right out of college. Have you ever looked back and thought, geez, maybe I should have done something else? What was the other path maybe that you thought about other than insurance?
Honestly, once I got in the insurance business, I don't think there was another path that started crossing my mind. I could have gotten into marketing. That's what, you know, I got a marketing and management dual degree. So I could have done something like that and, you know, worked for a corporation. But I was pretty adventurous and come from a family, you know, that's pretty adventurous. My grandparents, in the middle of the Great Depression, mortgaged their house and started an oil company and cafes. Back then, oil companies were mainly filling stations. Yeah. And so they started a filling station and a cafe. My grandpa ran the filling station and my grandmother ran the cafe. And they paid themselves, the family story goes, $8 a week and worked round the clock. It was open 24 hours a day.
Oh my God.
So that was quite a deal. $8 a week for 6 months, never took a day off. And then at the end, they could pay their self $50 a week, so, and take some days off. So so that was kind of a neat background story.
Yeah,
I think so. My dad drove a truck for I think 20 some years, and then had an epiphany that he should get in the insurance business, and so. Then I watched him in the insurance business and started keeping some of his books for him. He didn't ask me to, but I was really interested in writing down his sales and commissions and things. And so at the time, he had moved to a different city, but was coming back to Joplin and doing the insurance business 3 days a week. So I thought, okay, he's doing pretty well, you know, working 3 days a week back in Joplin. And so I knew when I turned 18, I wanted to give that a shot. And so,
awesome. So I'm curious, Jacob, do you know what it was what was the epiphany that your dad had that went from truck driver to insurance? Had you ever asked him that?
In fact, I think I heard that the other day. It was for the first time. My stepmother was telling the story where she had the idea that insurance might be good for dad. The family had been in the oil company / filling station business and cafes. And so she really had a strong feeling like he ought to do that. And so he got his license and worked as a captive agent for a little while, and then started as an independent agent. And so
that's awesome. So we owe it all to mom, right?
Yep.
Going all the way back, your grandma.
So that's awesome.
So go all the way fast forward then. When you joined the business, did you work with your dad? Because I don't think I ever had the pleasure of meeting your dad that I can remember. But did you work side by side with each other first? Or did he leave and just handed it over to you?
Yeah. No, he had a small out of his house. And so when I was 18 and jumped in the business, that's what I was doing. I was basically looking in the phone book and seeing who had older sounding names. You know, doing dialing and then door to door and things like that. And so he went on his appointments. I went on my appointments. And so at some point, he ended up retiring. And then that's when I started my insurance agency, Jacob North Insurance Agency.
So they were separate, two different entities. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I worked through his agency for probably 4 years while I went to college. And then after that, I started just called it Jacob North Insurance Agency, and then later Senior Insurance Specialist.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. And always in the Joplin area, correct? And then I know you've expanded your actual footprint into some of the other states, but walk through maybe some of those processes or some of those decisions that you made in order to be able to kind of hire that first person in your office and then be able then because of that, probably I would assume, then be able to maybe expand a little bit. So walk us through about how far into the business that was for you and what were those processes you went through to make those decisions?
Yeah. Well, I had the office out of my house for a good while. I would guess and say maybe 7 or 8 years. We started having some children. We have 4 girls and 3 boys. So we have a great family. Good.
We're gonna get to that. I want to hear all about these 4 girls, 3 boys. Okay.
But so we started having some children, and the office in the house started being kind of interesting. So I would have my oldest kids coming in as 2 and 3 year olds when I'm talking on the phone and wanting to play with daddy. You know, they didn't understand that I couldn't do that. And so kind of made me feel sad that I, you know, couldn't do that as well. So my wife and I started thinking, I think it might be better if we actually have an office that you go to. And then when you come home, the kids have your undivided attention.
Yeah.
So that's kind of one of the reasons why I ended up just buying a building in Joplin. And the other reason was I knew I needed help me answer phones and, you know, do great customer service, because when you come home for lunch and you have 10 phone calls to try to answer and come home for dinner and have another 10, we didn't really have cell phones back then. It's kind of scary, but
I know to think of a world without cell phones, right? How did we operate?
So people just had to wait on me, and I didn't really like that. You know, I thought, oh my gosh, I need somebody, you know, to really help people out. So that was the decision-making process to get a building and to hire someone, you know, to help. And so we did that about 7 years
ago. Okay. Yeah. So that's it. That's a pretty good process. We like to teach around here, you know, because we see agents at every point of their career, every point of the journey of their entire career, just starting out, thinking about going from their car or kitchen table to an office, and then thinking about buying a building, and then thinking about hiring that first person to assist you with everything, then doing that first agent, maybe getting into that part of the business. So it's super fun for us. And I think it'll be awesome for other agents to hear your story, that it took 7 years to get to the point where it was, I really need some assistance. I really need some additional help. I need a place for customers to come see me. And that's funny to think about now, isn't it funny to think about, Jake, that you were working from home or working remote, you know, long before everybody was trying to figure it out a couple of years ago. And we didn't have, you didn't have any of the technologies, I'm sure, right, that we had in 2020 when everybody was working remote. So I'm sure that was a big adjustment. But I love your wife's analogy of, you know, it's not quality of time, it's quantity of time that we always talk about as parents. Just because you're there all day didn't mean that you could give them the attention that they wanted and needed and you wanted. So going away, going out of the office, getting the work done, coming home to where you could devote all your time to them. I think that's a super important story that will resonate with a lot of people too, because I know that's a big wrestle that we all have, no matter where you're at in parenting or in your career, when you're blending the two and trying to figure out your time. That's the biggest question that gets asked of every mother, every father, every successful person gets asked, how do you balance your time? How do you balance? You have 7 children and now 1 grandchild, right? Or 2?
Yeah.
1.
Yeah. 1.
And that's the most important thing in your world. But yet, you know, the business is what provides for those, for those children and the travel that you get to do. I want to talk about that too. You've got some great travel stories, I know. So it is a weird, odd, very difficult balance. But how do you, other than that first move, how on earth do you work? Because I know the hours you work. I know the work you put in. How do you do that and manage to be the father and now grandfather that you are?
Yeah. So got some good ways that have really helped out. And, you know, at the start, I wasn't as busy, so I would take Fridays off and maybe, you know, then I went to Friday afternoons. At one season, I took Wednesdays off, and you try to experiment with your schedule,
yeah,
you know, for best results. And of course, the ages of your kids,
yeah,
it really matters, you know, on the amount of time you spend with them. We try to take a lot of vacations, and of course, insurance conventions can turn into family vacations pretty easily. Yeah. So in fact, you know, I've taken my kids to SMS retreats.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. And they love it. They still talk about it.
Oh, that's awesome. So I know you do something special, and I forget what age it is, but I know you do something special for each of your children when they would hit a certain age. Tell us about that.
Sure. So when the kids would turn 7, each one of them, I would take them to Disney World. My wife homeschools our kids and has always done that. She was a teacher. And so when our oldest daughter, Brianna, turned 5, she decided she'd stay home and homeschool the kids. So that's been a really neat thing for our family. So when they turn 7, since the kids always get to spend, you know, more time with mom than they do dad, so I would do something special. And we just had a blast. Each one of the kids, I always took them to Disney World. We'd stay there for 4 or 5 days, hit all the parks. The girls loved going to Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. Of course, you know, get their hair done and go walk around in the fun dresses, you know, with the
wall.
I've just had a blast doing that.
It was just you and that child once they turned 7, just the two of you. Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh. So many of them that are older than that now, I bet that still just has to be one of the most precious memories they have of their childhood, right?
Yeah, they had a blast. And I'd do a picture book for them and write in it, you know, what we did each day. So it was a special time for me, for sure. I was number 6 in our family, and so we had a big family. But my next sibling was 7 years older than me, and so there was 5 girls. And so sometimes I felt like an only child. And so just having a good amount of children has really been a blessing to me too. And then when they turn 16, 17, I try to do something special with them as well. And usually it involves an insurance convention. So I'm excited to take Abigail somewhere this year. So we qualify for a convention.
Oh, Abigail's the one that gets to go this year?
Yeah.
And how old is she? She's 16?
She is 17. Yeah.
Oh, how fun. Oh, I'm anxious to meet her. That's incredible. Yeah, we've talked a lot of times over the years that we're literally in the most incredibly blessed career we could ever be in. What you get to do daily is sit with some of the most important people in your community and help them make sure they have the right healthcare and financial decisions made so that when anything would happen, that they're safe. And then we're rewarded in ways that is sometimes almost, you know, an embarrassment of things. When we were going through 2020 and just the COVID and the lockdown and the so much stress in the world and so much almost hatred of people toward their job. Mm. And that's just something that we've always just kind of taken for granted, I guess. This is the only career I've ever had. I started right out of college. And it's the only industry. I worked in real estate for a smidge as I went through college at Kirksville. But so it's the only industry I really know either. And I guess, assumed that everybody gets to live this life of this having an impact, but also being able to travel the world with our friends and partners and carriers and our own agencies. And it's just been absolutely amazing, some of the places that we've gotten to go and just the amazing blessing that we have of being in this industry. If you didn't know that before 2020, I hope to God everybody learned that post 2020, that, you know, when so many businesses were hurting or locking up shop or couldn't keep employees, you know, our industry was thriving because our people still needed us. Our customers still needed us. And we were able to pivot and shift to being remote and being still accessible to your clients, our customer, which is you. We were able to still, you know, conduct business on a day-to-day manner. So it is a pretty incredible blessing for all of us, for sure.
Definitely.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I definitely need to give a shout out to our team here at Senior.
Yeah. So yeah. Tracy, talk about was Tracy your first hire, or she's just, I know she's been there the longest.
I think third.
Okay.
So we had some, good employees before her, but she's definitely been here the longest. She's been here 18 years.
She's done
a great job. She's assembled a great team. She's a good leader here at the office, and definitely couldn't have done any of this without her. She's here on a daily basis and just slugging it out, you know, with the rest of us and doing a great job, with customer service.
I think what you found in Tracy is what I've been blessed to find in our employees as well, which is that magical intersection of a person who has the strengths and expertise to do very well at their job, and the heart and the heart to care about what they're doing and who they're doing it with, whether it be with you or with the customers. And that's a beautiful intersection of a person, but of an employee. Definitely Tracy fits that model, like all of our employees here too. But that's not something you find every day. As you know, you could have the most caring, wonderful individual who would love your clients, maybe not the best on, like you said, the leadership qualities and the expertise and the processing and the systems and everything. Or you can have one that's really good at that, but is more robotic and treats it like a job versus, you know, an opportunity to help somebody. So kudos to you for finding Tracy and enabling her too. And you've empowered her to do that as well. You've empowered her to continue to grow and we love the heck out of her and enjoy working with her over the years too.
And Jennifer and Emily are doing a great job as well. So
yeah,
we love our team. And we do a lot more with our smaller team than we might do with a lot of people that, like, as you said, doesn't really care as much about what they do. So,
yeah. So I teased in introducing you that you probably outwork, outperform, outsell anybody that we've ever worked with. And I know you're always gracious enough to say it's the team, and it is. So walk us through. I think most people would probably be shocked to know how many people your office sees on a typical week, and then during AEP, how many people your office sees. I think people are going to, if they're listening on their phone, they'll probably drop their phone when they hear some of your numbers. But walk us through as much as you want to share on that, Jacob.
Yeah, we still see people face to face. And so that kind of feels like we're a dinosaur lumbering around in a, you know, in the new world or something. You know, most of the folks that are there are, you know, in a call center maybe, or, you know, just coming through town and helping people out and then going back to their town. But so we still see people face to face. We own our buildings still. We've switched buildings a couple times. Probably face to face, we would see maybe 60, 70 people a week that come into our office until annual enrollment, maybe 100 people a week. But in annual enrollment, we usually see around 100 people a day. So it ends up being, I think last year was 35. You know, we had the face shields on and everything. I think we saw 3,700. It was our biggest face-to-face meeting with people. So that shows you
You cut out there for just a second. I want to make sure that everybody hears those numbers. So even during 2020, wearing face shields and masks and everybody living the way we were living that first year of COVID, you saw over 3,700 people in your office that day. Or that
no day. One got COVID. I was totally amazed. So I give the glory to the good Lord for that. But
absolutely. Joplin must have been protected.
Maybe so. So that also shows you that the seniors in our area weren't all that scared of it.
Yeah.
So that's probably just the Midwest.
We definitely saw it was a geographical thing for sure, as far as how people felt about it, the cases, you know, of people actually getting sick and even worse. Definitely, you know, it was area by area. So we were here to support our agents because we work with agents across the country and, you know, downtown Chicago, upstate New York and Joplin, mm-hmm. Missouri, and, you know, rural Missouri right outside our hometown here. So everybody, we had to be open to make sure that we understood whatever that agent needed, we could deliver. So if it was still face to face, we could help figure out a way you could still do that as safely as possible. We had like some agencies do like drive-in or drive-through service where, you know, a customer stayed in their car. I think maybe you had some of those too.
Yeah,
where
we
you
did,
like ran
we did some of that too.
When yeah, you ran information out to their car and back. Yeah. So again, it kind of goes back to what I said earlier of the businesses who were able to survive 2020 and really any kind of roadblock. That was the biggest we've all ever faced. But any kind of obstacle or roadblock, it's how you're able to pivot your business and how you're able to still meet your customer where they need to be met, but it's not going to look like it's always looked. And I think that's probably one of the biggest success stories of our industry and of agents like yourself who were able to still say, my clients still need me. This is still the enrollment period. They still need me to give the same amount of service. It may look a little different. So kudos to you guys. And with those kind of numbers, obviously it takes a team, it takes a village, it takes a very smooth process and systems, being able to use things like, you know, the technologies that have been made so much better over the last few years, to be able to see that many people and process that many applications. But you guys have had, I'm sure, a learning curve over the years of all the different technologies and processes that have been thrown your way. But I know, again, that's probably where Tracy shines and her team of really understanding, digging in. I know our team work daily, you know, getting anything set up with your team and making sure that you have everything that you need. But that's awesome. Yeah, and those numbers are absolutely incredible. So let's go back a little bit to the family side of things. Yeah. So this is a human connection. So as humans, we like to talk. We met through business, and a lot of people listening want to know about your business today. But what this whole podcast and this whole conversation, all these conversations are about is listening to people who have had tremendous success in their life, like yourself, but bringing the human aspect to the table. So So you and your wife got married, started having babies, had 7 children. She homeschooled them all. That is incredible, first of all. You talked a little bit about some of the trips that you like to take one-on-one. Tell us a little bit about some of your family vacations too, because I know you've had some great taking the whole family. What is it like to take 9 people, each having at least 1 suitcase on a trip somewhere?
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, you put on your travel agent hat and try to, especially if you go out of the country, you've got to really have things set up before you go. But
yeah, so again, for listeners, just let me back up. So most people who had 7 kids would probably never leave the house, number one, or their travel or vacations might be to the next town over. Jacob not only traveled with all of his children, he actually took them out of the country more than once. So yes, you guys are very, very, very adventurous.
Adventurous or crazy, who knows?
Let's go with adventurous.
But we started, of course, you have to have a 12-passenger van and then 15-passenger van, things like that. But I remember when we were getting started seeing all the national parks that we've seen. I think we've seen in the 40s, maybe, national parks.
That's incredible.
All piled in the van. And then we had a travel trailer, or actually we had a box trailer on our first trip. We just put everybody's bicycles in there and put all of our luggage in there and headed out. My mom went with us. Our dog went with us. And so we actually had 10 people and our dog traveling around.
Didn't you bring another pet too besides the dog?
We stopped. We ended up at one point, we got a lizard, lizard with us. And I think my oldest daughter brought her gerbil. So
because they couldn't stay home alone, or why bring this?
Well, the kids can't part with their pets. And then our son fell in love with a lizard one time, so we bought a lizard. So we figured out how much crickets you had to feed it once we got home and have this special light and all that.
I've been through that as well. My daughter went through a phase, her entire childhood. She loved any kind of animal that we would possibly allow for her to have. So when she was little, it was whatever would fit in a cage. Like, I don't want, let's not start with dogs and cats and rabbits and everything that might be running around. Let's start with something that can fit in a cage. So she did the lizard route. And so we would go to PetSmart, I think once a week, and buy live crickets and figure out how to feed this. How to get them home and get them in the cage. But I would never take them on vacation with me. So you're definitely adventurous for that.
So, and my wife and I both grew up poor. My parents were poor. And so just getting to get out and get out of town and have some fun, that's a big adventure. I remember when I was growing up, just to tell you how poor we were, this is not supposed to be a comedy or anything, but I remember wearing cowboy boots, even though I didn't really like the way they fit on my feet, so that my pants, I was growing tall very quickly in junior high, so that my pants didn't go up and show my hairy legs. So I would wear cowboy boots just because my pants, and we didn't have enough money to buy pants that were long enough as a girl.
I relate very well. My story to that is I grew up very similar on a farm. Definitely no money for anything that wasn't necessary. That was always the big word in our house. And I also grew very tall, very fast. And so my parents weren't going to buy me new jeans all the time. So my mom would literally sew. She'd cut old jeans for my brothers or something and take the denim and sew like another inch and a half around the bottom. And she thought she was being so sweet because she would do like embroidery and put flowers. And maybe when I was little, I thought that was cute, but that went all the way into my teens and I was not having it at all. So I can relate to that.
So, but yeah, we got a chance to, go out west several times.
We're
taking vans, and then we got the pool travel trailers and had a lot of fun doing that. And then we had a period of about 5 years where we started getting into RV traveling. And
my gosh.
So we had a lot of fun doing it with an RV. And then we got That was a gas RV, our first one. I think it was about 30 foot. And then we got a diesel 40 foot. And so, I mean, driving one of those things around the national parks and up hills and.
Oh my gosh.
Wild times.
Oh, more power to you. I just don't think I could do that.
Funny story. We ended up getting off trail in New York City, and we actually drove through Harlem in our RV on a Friday night. It almost reminded me of the movie Vacation where Chevy get off in the wrong part of St. Louis.
You didn't stop and ask for directions, did you?
Nope. People partying in the streets on a Friday night, you know.
Oh, I love it.
We're trying to part the crowd driving through. So thankfully.
Here's these rednecks from Missouri coming through town.
Oh, you know what? It was pretty funny. A little nervous, you know. Got out of there. And then, you know, when you drive one of those things too, they're 13 and a half foot tall. So you got to, New York City's not really made for those with the bridges. And so we actually had at one point, getting out of there, we had to have a tow truck come and stop traffic across one of the roads so we could get going the right way and get out of there where the bridges were so low.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we had a great time. A lot of fun stories. Of course, at those times, you're pretty, you know, pretty stressed out.
And, I was going to say, you're laughing now, but I bet you and your wife probably were not laughing at that time.
Kids will have some great stories. They'll know what not to do on vacation and
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I bet they thought it was hilarious, probably. Yeah. Or they were embarrassed, you know, depending on the age, you know, usually embarrassed about anything we do for a certain part of their life.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So what you took them out of the country. Where did you guys go?
Yeah, but so one of the insurance companies was having a convention in Ireland. So I think one of the kids' very favorite vacations is where we flew to Greece. We flew to Spain, and we went on a Mediterranean cruise. Mm. And so that was nice. Went over even to Israel area. And so we got back to Greece, flew to London. We got on the all the subway systems in London. We had to have the buddy system. And, you know,
this is all family. This is all nine of you.
Yeah.
Wow. So what's the age span? Like, is there 10 years between first and seventh, or how many years?
Oldest is 24 and youngest is 13. So we had them about every 2 years, some a little longer.
So the buddy system was youngest go with the oldest and then work your way down that way, or
youngest because I had to carry my youngest son at the time. And so Renee took the next youngest, and then our oldest took number three.
They would divide that up. Okay.
That way we had to run fast like we would have to do every once in a while to get on board on a subway. You know, hey, we left no child behind.
So, I was going to say the good news is this does have a happy ending, folks. He never lost a child in Ireland, right?
Even the subways of London. So that was our most challenging time. That was when I was a little bit nervous, just making sure we didn't leave somebody at a subway station.
Yeah. Traveling anywhere with any amount of small children is there's always so many things that you worry about. You're probably always counting. I always do that with my whole group. You know, is everybody counting off and making sure we didn't lose anybody? Oh my gosh! And so you raised them all pretty much without cell phones, probably. Or I guess the youngest ones probably now they've all had cell phones most of their life. But isn't it funny to think about? You know, we talked about in business that it's so funny to think about a life before all this technology and cell phones. Think about parenting. Like, think about us growing up. We would, you know, sounds like we grew up very similarly. I would get on my bike. We lived in the country and I would still just get on my bike and go to town, which was at least 8 miles away, and meet my friend there who lived in another town. And she would ride her bike like 7 miles to meet. We didn't have a cell phone, a helmet. We would put, my best friend actually put like a boom box on the front of her bike, and then used like bungee cords or something to tie it, to keep it on there. And
that's awesome.
My parents just had to assume that we got there safely. We're going to be home before dark. I mean, can you imagine parenting today versus when we grew up, and even having our children, just the way technology has changed how we parent. Mm-hmm. And now, so you have a little grandchild now, and that's Brianna's, right?
Yes.
And are they close? Are they close by?
Yeah, they're about 15 minutes away. So we get to see little Obadiah a lot. So we're
Obadiah. Oh, how beautiful. And how old is he now?
He's about 4.5 months old.
Oh, just getting to that fun, squishy, you know, he'll start moving around stage. What's that been like for you and your wife to play the role of grandparent versus parent, and when to step in, when to not? You know, there's lots of things we have to learn as grandparents.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely let Brianna and Michael take care of Obadiah and be the parent. But it's really nice to be able to just, you know, hang out with Obadiah. And then whenever he has a dirty diaper or whatever, you can just kind of, hey, here you go.
Yep, goes right back. Doesn't it?
I think we might be hungry. Yeah. So, so you get all the, fun parts without any of the responsibility. That's pretty interesting.
It's the best. It's the best. And I bet all your siblings, his aunts and uncles, are loving it too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They love that's fun. They
love it. And of course, Brianna's got a lot of good built-in babysitters.
Absolutely. That's right. And for the first year, she probably won't use that a whole lot. I found as a grandparent, the first year of the child's life, we don't get them, you know, we can like struggle to hold them and all of that. But then like something about when they first turn like one and a half, then all of a sudden they're like being dropped off at our door, and they come with a suitcase when they come. It's a lot more of a lot more grandparent time. So soak in that first year, and then it gets super, super fun after that.
Looking forward to it. That's for sure.
Yeah. So outside of that, so kind of walk us through, your work ethic, I assume, you know, came from, like you said, watching your father and just not knowing any other way. You didn't know you had a great work ethic probably until somebody told you that. That's just, I'm assuming, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but walk us through where that did come from. And then where do you continue to feed that? Where do you get your motivation? What do you how are you continually filling your cup? Because you have a lot of responsibilities, all your customers, all your team, your staff, and obviously all your family. Where do you continue to fill your cup to make sure that you're there and continue to inspire and empower others?
Yeah, so I know my family has always had a pretty strong work ethic. From my youngest years, when I was 4 or 5 years old, I would see my grandpa, who had just had a stroke at I think age 50. He was, you know, usually you see people figuring out how to walk again with a cane or, you know, we have all kinds of new machines now that help people out. He was actually out in his garden with one of those metal 3-pronged plows. And so he just loved being out in the garden. He would shove that thing through and then drag his left foot, you know, and then shove it through again and drag his left foot until that was his, you know, recovery mode. So he would be out there every time I came over, just sweating and having a good time out in the garden, working hard. Of course, my dad's been always a hard worker, and that seems to be inside of me too. I'm a big believer in everybody is called, you know, to do something with their life, and you can feel it. You know, God has given people talents. And so you got to use those talents and figure out, you know, the best ways for you to use them. And so I think that the big thing that we have to do as humans is figure out the things that we've been given and make a difference with them. You know, if you make some money, you got to give back to the community and give back to your church and give back to people who would, you know, who are in hard times and need a leg up. Just a little story about that. You know, how the Bible says that if you give, it'll be given back to you in a much greater measure. Well, when I was 18, I just felt like our youth pastor, who was about 25 at the time, who I thought was really old, but you know, they were having a couple of kids and just seemed like they needed a little extra. Well, I had an extra $200. So I just felt impressed to give him $200 one day after church. The very next day on a Monday, you know, and this is me just getting going in the insurance business, I made a sale and made $600. There's a couple of sales or whatever it was. And so I thought, okay, there really is something to
that. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think that really, you know, if you want to know about me personally, my success, I really do owe it to the Lord just with trying to give back to him. You can't outgive God. He definitely will increase your business, increase whatever job a person has, whether it's in the insurance business or whatever. Mm-hmm. You'll be blessed. And so I'm definitely blessed because, you know, because of him. Oh. And I know my wife would say the exact same thing. And so, you know, we have to put in the hours, right? We have to put in the hard work. But definitely, if you're striving to do, you know, to give back, to work with your talents and do the things you feel like you're called to do, mm-hmm. then it'll be returned back to you in a much greater measure than you ever put out.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, I can't top that. So there's no way to top that. So it's a great place for us to leave. I know everybody listening today, Jacob, who gets to see a little bit more of a piece of you and the human side of that now, of what has driven you over these years and continues to drive you and continue to have more of an impact on just more and more and more people in your home, in your community, and in this industry. So I appreciate you spending some time and being so open and sharing with us today. And I just can't thank you enough and look forward to seeing you soon.
Yep. Thanks a lot for having me, Joanne.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jacob. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.